The Victims Commissioner, the Commissioner for Victims and Survivors, Catherine Stone, was actually coming into us today and is into us today because she's been in her post for a year now. But Catherine, before we talk about that, your reaction to what you've just heard?
Well, I'm here in a professional capacity as Victims Commissioner, Stephen, but I sit in your production room as a member of the public and I'm bewildered and baffled by what I hear. And I'm just thinking about the people that I support, the victims that I see every day. And I'm just thinking, how can they have confidence in what is being said to them when the level of debate sinks to these depths? And I think we need to take very, very seriously the impact of these conversations, the impact of these discussions on victims and survivors, and think about how we're going to give them confidence that this society can provide properly for them.
What bewildered you about what you heard today? What specifically baffled you?
Well, I think, and, you know, perhaps it's because I've only been living here for a year, and perhaps it's because I'm still very new to living in Northern Ireland, but the deeply personal nature of some of the things that are said, I don't think give anyone, particularly victims and survivors, the confidence that they expect and the reassurance that they deserve. I think we have to remember that victims and survivors in this community are people who have sacrificed most, they have suffered most, and they have a hugely important contribution to make. And I think when you know, people are kind of slinging insults at each other, it's those people, the victims and survivors, we need to step back and think, what's the impact on them? How is this going to help them? What barriers is this putting in their way?
What is the impact on them?
I think people will feel equally baffled and bewildered and want to know that politicians are going to step outside of that and think about what support can be given to them. You know, these issues of, you know, building for a better and shared future, for many of the victims that I speak with, and I speak with them every single day, that the idea of a better and shared future is a pipe dream for them because they are still living with the legacy of a very difficult and painful traumatic past. We need to think about how we address that stuff. And I know that we will be meeting with Richard Haass very shortly, and we'll be talking to Richard Haass about the experiences of victims and survivors in this place. And one of the things that I'll be saying to him is there is an epidemic of emotional turmoil here. You, Stephen, you've met with victims and survivors and you've heard their incredibly poignant, difficult experiences.
I have. And on both sides.
On both sides, of course, on both sides. And, you know, that's one of the things that it's important to remember, that, you know, in this place, everybody hurts. Everybody's experienced terrible trauma. And we need to think about how we support those people, not to move on, because moving on suggests that you draw a line and you forget about the past, but move forward and take the memories of your loved ones and take your experiences with you. And if we are to have a better and shared future, we need to give those people a voice and an opportunity to contribute properly.
You've told the Eamon Malley website that it's been an extraordinary year, and to say it's been challenging would be an understatement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's been challenging because, you know, I've moved to Northern Ireland. This is now my home, so I've had all sorts of things to sort out there. But most importantly, it's been challenging because every day I have met, as I said, with victims and survivors. And every day I've been humbled and inspired by their experiences and what's happened to them. And it's my job to make sure that their voices are heard.
But when you set a scar in the conscience of this society, what's that mean?
What that means is that unless we address the emotional, the turmoil that people experience, then those wounds, those psychological wounds, those physical wounds will never be healed. And we need to address that and take that very, very seriously.
Can I cut to the chase, Catherine? Mm-hmm. Do you believe Stormont is failing victims?
I don't think that Stormont is failing victims. I think that what Stormont needs to do is to listen very, very carefully to what victims are saying they want.
Are they not doing that?
I think they are, but I think that they need to listen more carefully. I think there's a very real difference, Stephen, between failing victims. You know, you can't say that Stormont is failing victims. There's a lot of money being placed into a new victims and survivors service. A lot of money has been given to victims groups. What we need to do is make that better. Do that in a more effective, more efficient way so that people who have the greatest need are given the highest level of support.
But you've heard in the discussion this morning that there are fundamental issues that Stormont cannot agree upon in terms of a way forward. So maybe actually talking about the past and victims is so fragile, so difficult, that it would be better closing down the debate on the past.
Absolutely not.
Give victims the practical help they need, but forget about even giving them the notion that this will be one day sorted. Maybe it'll never be sorted.
I'd like to share with you the experience of a working group as part of our forum, the Dealing with the Past Working Group. And that group of people are representatives of a very, very diverse range of people here. And they have come to an accommodation, one with another, about a framework for dealing with the past, which considers a whole range of things. And we'll be presenting this, their arguments, their perspective to Richard Haass. And I think if that group of people can navigate their way through some very, very complex, very, very difficult discussions, then we have to listen to that.
But issues like a truth commission, an amnesty, there's no agreement. There's no even sense of an agreement.
No, there isn't an agreement. And the paper that's been provided to me by the Dealing with the Past Working Group is not an agreed paper. It's a kind of paper of things that they're prepared to agree on.
But the politicians can't even agree on the definition of a victim.
Well, the politicians have agreed on the definition of a victim because it's very clearly set out in legislation. Now, it's politically controversial, it's morally contested, and there have been a number of attempts to change that definition. The definition is the one that is on the statute books, and it's the one that we must all work to until such time as that changes. Now, it's been said to me recently that I should not implement the definition of a victim because it's based on bad law. Now, it's not for me or for any other citizen.
Who told you that?
I was talking to a group of victims, and they feel very, very strongly that the definition is not a correct definition and that the law that it's based on is a bad law. Now, it's not for me to pick and choose aspects of the legislation which I agree or disagree with. It's for me in a professional capacity to implement the legislation that's been passed by politicians and by government.
What are you going to be saying to Richard Haass?
I'm going to be saying to him, Mr. Haass, there is an epidemic of emotional turmoil in this place. Somebody has suggested to me that I should say to him, wake up and smell the heartache. Perhaps that's a little bit over familiar. But I will be saying to him that the victims and survivors in this place really have suffered most. They've sacrificed most, and they have a lot to contribute. He needs to listen to what they're saying about what it is they want, what they expect, and frankly, what they deserve.
And Catherine, just finally, are you more, now that you're a year in your position, are you more or less optimistic?
I'm very optimistic. I think
more or less?
I'm more optimistic. And that's because I know more and I understand more. You know, people have said to me, Catherine, you're not from here. You don't understand the subtleties and nuances of this place. And if I had a pound for every time somebody had said that to me, I'd be a very wealthy woman. Some of the things that happen here are not subtle at all. And they're not nuanced. They're very blunt. They're very direct. They're very straightforward. I'm more optimistic because I now have a better understanding of those differences and I have a better understanding of what victims and survivors are saying they want and I think they deserve.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, Catherine. Thank you very much indeed.